Hello, and welcome to the second season of A Writer's Journey. Last season, we talked about everything the aspiring author wants to know about going from blank page to published. This season, we'll dive into the actual business of publishing and marketing your books. I'm Sarah Whitford, and I recently independently published my first novel, The Smuggler's Gambit. My co-host, Terrence Zepke, is the author of 24 books and has been very busy lately. So, Terrence, a lot has happened since we last recorded the episode at the end of season one in 2014. So tell us what has been going on with you.
Okay, well, Sarah, I do a lot of travel writing, so I decided we needed, and actually you kind of prompted this, that we, you instigate, so we kind of moved all the travel stuff over to a new site, TerrenceTalksTravel.com. And you know how I am. I keep getting ideas in my head and all that.
Oh, yes. You're like the idea person.
I know. So that led to me doing the book series, Terrence Talks Travel. And so I launched the first book, which is Terrence Talks Travel, A Pocket Guide to South Africa, in January. And that, I think, last I saw was number 12 on the Amazon ranking. It fluctuates every day, I don't know what it is today, but the last I saw, but it's selling, more important than the rank, it's selling really, really well, so I'm very excited.
That is exciting.
And I've got two more books in the series that are coming out, and lots of ideas for more, so I'm real excited about the new series. Also, I end up doing a travel show, Terrence Talks Travel, on Blog Talk Radio, but you can find information about that on my site. But anyway, so been very busy with all of that, and if they're interested, they can go to my site and they can sign up for my blog, and when they do, they will get a free 50-page travel report.
Oh, yes, and that's very, very cool, because you have so many tips. I mean, you have written you've written literally the encyclopedia of cheap travel, so you
I
know
have.
All about it.
And as you know, since you've had to, because Sarah is my website person, I wouldn't trust anyone else with my stuff because she's wonderful. So you know how much content you had to move.
A ton.
But anyway, enough of me. Back to you. Come on, let's tell everybody what you've been up to.
Well, last week, let's see, we're recording this on March 25th. Last week on, well, right in time for St. Patrick's Day, I released my first novel, independently published, The Smuggler's Gambit. I'm very excited. It's doing well. Actually, at this moment, I can't guarantee it will be when people listen to this, but at this moment, it's holding its own at number 4 in its own historical fiction category for young adults on Amazon.com. And I'm beside myself because, I mean, it's right now it's wedged between two of Rush Limbaugh's books, which are in the top 2 spots, and then some other historical fiction classics that have just been popular for decades. So it's really an exciting process, and I'm learning a lot, and it's doing well. And so, now I'm beginning on this journey actually as a published author, and I'm no longer just trying to get there.
You're now in a very dubious club.
Yes, I guess so. I'm happy to be here, though. I'm happy to be here if y'all will take me. Let's put it that way.
Oh, Sarah, I'm happier than you because I have to tell you all, I thought Sarah was going to just do me in before the book was released. So I had to talk her. Oh, gosh, that was. But anyway, no, I won't get into that. But it was very exciting, I know. And it was kind of funny seeing it all, because actually, you know, I just had my 25th book released. Did you know that?
Oh, well, no, I guess
actually,
I haven't been counting them, but I mean, it's so many now. Gosh.
Well, I mean, you know, that's the problem when you start writing, Sarah. You have to keep going. But actually, in May, it'll be the 25th book. It'll be the third book in the Terrence Talks Travel series. And I'm loving doing these. It's just a lot of fun. Anyway, what you're going to see now is the business end of things.
Mm-hmm.
You've been focused on all the stuff that we talked about in season one, about how to get your idea from your idea stage to done.
That's right.
But then once you're done, you're all down to the business of publishing. And that's a whole other world.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I've definitely found that to be the case. And I, before it came out, I was analyzing things to death. I wonder if I should do this, and I wonder if I should do that. And it's sort of beside the point until the book's actually out. I mean, it's beside the point. And so the whole idea of like one thing that definitely I've learned in this process, I've learned a lot of things. But one thing that I want to mention right now is having a big you know, fixed a launch date when you're doing independent publishing through like CreateSpace or Ingram Spark or anything like that is just, it's kind of laughable because, I mean, you know, you have the process of going back and forth with the proofing and looking at everything to make sure it's just right. And then when it's ready, it's ready. And really, you can launch it whenever you want because it's not like you can guarantee it's going to be in bookstores on that day. I mean, unless you're independently wealthy and are printing the book yourself and are having a distributor put it in all the bookstores for you, and even that is, you know, a challenge. But yeah, definitely, because I had originally planned to release it on the 20th and ended up releasing it several days earlier because it was ready and I didn't see the point in waiting.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point for people because unless you are a best-selling author, the dates are kind of arbitrary now, mm-hmm. except that gave you a target date of
that's
when
right.
you needed to be ready.
Yep.
So
yep.
it was good for that. But so what we're going to do today's episode, if I'm not mistaken, we're going to jump right in and tell people about, because what we left off in the season finale, just to remind everybody, as you and I had a discussion about traditional publishing versus indie publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of, I thought that was kind of wild because I took the pro side of publishing. And you took the pro side of indie publishing,
mm-hmm.
you know, traditional publishing versus indie and all. And we had kind of a lively discussion because Sarah was pretty passionate about her.
I'm still passionate about it, Terrence. I haven't changed one bit.
But you know, I think it's important to present all the options for everybody. So
oh, sure.
since we went into that and we talked a lot in detail about that, I wanted to go on and tell people about some other publishing choices that they have. And of course, to start off, I wanted to talk a bit more about traditional publishing. And about, it's kind of a rock and a hard place issue because you have to have an agent before you can approach a traditional publisher.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really hard for an unknown author to get an agent. So, you know, the whole thing now, you'd probably say a debut author should just forget it and publish their own. I know that, but I want to make sure people know not everybody wants to get into the business end of things with Sarah. Some people may still want to be traditionally published, and so the good news is that things are changing big time on that front. Do you know that for the first time in history, some publishers are now welcoming unsolicited manuscripts?
Hmm.
Yeah, an agent is actually no longer required for an author to get to the publisher. Now, most of the publishers are not abandoning agents or the traditional process at all, but rather I think they see that times are changing, so they're not relying exclusively on them in the same way that they were before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the relationships are changing and all. So I know for a fact that some of the HarperCollins imprints are now dealing directly with authors. And to the same degree, lit agents have let down their hair a bit, if you will, and they're taking on more debut authors than they used to. And I'm talking about even some of the big-time agencies. And so it's an exciting time. And I think that we can thank indie publishing for these changes here and all the changes that have transpired in the publishing industry in recent history. So what do you think about that, Sarah, the traditional publishing is becoming a bit more viable for.
Well, I think it's great. I'm still not interested, but but I think it's great. And I mean, as you know, and one thing I think is really exciting though is, I mean, I hear about traditionally published authors who are taking some of their stuff on the indie track, just, you know, to have that freedom over certain content, maybe projects that they want to do, and things like that. So I think it's neat that we're seeing all different kinds of things happening in publishing now.
I think it's important because, like you said, people could do both because there may be projects that you're passionate about that you can't get your publisher or your agent or whatever passionate about, and you don't have to just, you know, bury it in your file folder anymore.
That's right.
You could actually go out and do this on your own. So, and I do want to make sure that we mention to everybody that smaller publishers and specialized presses have always dealt with authors directly. So you don't need an agent to go to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that said, it's still a highly competitive arena. So how you approach them is critical. And the same is true for pitching agents, pitching large publishing houses, the ones that are accepting author submissions directly. If you don't know they're accepting author submissions, don't do this because you're going to end up in what they call a slush pile, and you've wasted your time and money sending something to them. So But I think what we're going to do is we're going to tell you exactly what you need to know about how to pitch a publisher on an upcoming episode. So I'll just tell everybody to stay tuned for that. But we're not going to get into that today because we're going to talk a bit more about indie publishing just to keep Sarah happy.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't have much to contribute in terms of pitching, you know, traditional publishers. And so
But you always have something to contribute, Sarah. I'm sure you'll have something to say when time comes.
Okay. All right.
But for today, we're going to talk about the different options you have because there are different options. Mm-hmm. You can go with traditional indie publishing or what we call do-it-yourself DIY publishing, which is what Sarah did. And she pretty much did everything herself.
Yes.
Didn't hire anything out, you know, did it all herself. And so she's going to talk. It's very exciting. She's going to tell us all about that in detail, I think, on our next episode. Is that right, Sarah?
Well, I'm going to be talking about some of the top things I learned while, you know, during this process because, you know, that's actually another little side project I'm working on right now is just a little – I'm going to put together a little book about indie author tips, just tips and tricks and hacks I learned while I was going through this process because you know, I've done plenty of research and plenty of studying, and, you know, I'm also heavily involved in the online writing challenge community on Twitter, the writingchallenge.org community. And, you know, people who knew that I was at certain stages in the process would say, well, how do you do this? Or I would see people come up and they would have a problem where they were trying to format a book or, you know, one, they were having a problem figuring out how to do the digital file or what have you. And there's all kinds of little tricks I learned, little things I learned that really help in the process. And so that, you know, I'm going to be talking about a few of those in the next episode. I'm also going to be interviewing another indie author who has several books published. So I'm looking forward to that. But
okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's also, you can go with indie publishing, but you can get some help. They call it assisted self-publishing. And there's a couple different ways you go about this. And one is where you just contract out for the services that you need. Like if you aren't able to make your own book cover, if you need some help with your design or layout of your book, if you need help editing, you see what I'm saying, any step along the way.
Well, I want to clarify, you know, just so people know that I was, although I, you know, I do graphic design, so I didn't have any problem doing my own cover and my layout and everything, but I know where I do need help, and I did hire a copy editor for my book because it was important to me to put out a professional product. I did not want someone to pick it up and read through it and, you know, catch errors here and there, even though I'm pretty strong in grammar and punctuation and spelling and, you know, syntax and all of that. I wouldn't trust my own eyes with my own writing.
That's a good point because Sarah's actually a magazine editor. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you would think, well, why would you need to hire anybody? You're an editor.
Right.
But editing your own work is kind of a dangerous thing. And Sarah will tell you because sometimes when I edit myself with a blog or anything else, she'll catch something and she'll be like, I don't think you meant to say, you know, this or that.
Once,
and I'll be like,
just once in a while.
Yeah. So it is because what's in your head isn't always what you, I mean, so it's good for that. But anyway, that's what you, when you hire some people, you're not doing everything yourself. And also there's another twist on that and it's called pro team publishing. And that's when you hire actually what they call a book shepherd. Have you ever heard of this, Sarah?
No.
I hadn't either, and I read something about it recently, and it fascinated me here. But basically, it would be, you know, like you hire somebody to take on your project and oversee it from start to finish. And they're an expert in this area, and so you're in good hands, but you're not directly involved. So if somebody has the money and maybe might be very busy or doesn't know where to start, doesn't want to learn every facet of the industry, they can turn it over to somebody there. And so, again, I know that that's just another option for people. And another one here that I'll talk about here is subsidy publishing. And I don't know if you're familiar with that, Sarah, but that's been really controversial in the writing world here. And I'm just going to say right off the bat that I don't recommend this. But in the interest of full disclosure, we are trying to bring everybody all the options. And I don't want somebody out there listening to have heard of this and been like, well, God, why didn't they mention this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I want to be sure to mention everything. But these folks in subsidy, they're in the business to make money off of you, not to sell your books. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So these companies offer to publish and sell your book, and they offer all kinds of, quote, comprehensive packages.
Is this like the vanity presses that we would hear about, you know, 10 or 15 years ago?
Right. Sort of modified with the times here.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I haven't heard anything good about this option. I did some research before our show today just to make sure, because I want to present both sides of everything. But I'm not to say that there aren't good options. I'm just saying I couldn't find any to talk about today for you here. What I did see was a lot of complaints about them being, once they took your money and signed you up, they were non-responsive to your calls. They didn't answer your emails. And basically, you've lost control of your book because you've turned over to them, and the next thing you know, you see it turn up these different places or not turn up for sale at different places and all.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, I'm thinking, what's the point of indie publishing if you've lost control of your book?
That's what I would think, yes.
Yeah, because the only disadvantage with traditional publishing is that so much is out of your hands. When you do it.
Which is, as I said before, in last season, it's a huge disadvantage.
Yeah.
I mean, if you like having control of your stuff, so.
But there are pros too, Sarah, but we've already had this conversation, so I guess we should tell people they can go into, at the end of the show, you're going to give our contact information. They can go into our podcast archives and listen to that episode, or they can go to iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
You'll tell them all that good stuff,
yeah.
Right?
I'll
okay.
All that.
Okay. So anyway, it's just, to me, I don't see the point of this, but for anyone who wants to pursue this, except that they just don't want to be involved in the business end at all, or they don't have the financial resources maybe to publish and market a book. They can't get a traditional publisher to pick them up. So, but, you know, like I said, if this is something you're interested in, I would just caution you to do your homework and make sure you understand what you're agreeing to, because you will sign an agreement just like you do a contract with a traditional publisher. So you really want to be careful before you sign anything. So I think that's probably enough said about subsidy, unless you want to contribute something else, Sarah.
Oh, no. I'm not really familiar with that other than,
okay.
Like I say, I remember hearing about the vanity publishing, you know, years ago, but it's never anything that, you know, appealed to me. So
No. Okay, so the last thing I want to talk about is something pretty recent. It's pretty new. It's called an author collective. And this is, most of them have what they call a no money changes hands policy. And what that means is the authors publish through their own companies. So if you're an indie author, you're publishing yourself, but then you get into they call it a collective, but I call it a co-op, because that's what it sounds like to me, where you're getting it together to actually like promote your books collectively.
Okay.
And so in some of these collectives, the authors will give each other editorial and production assistance, you know, as well as, you know, marketing stuff. But there's several different companies I came across that do this. And what they do is they have a network of channels to reach the readers. And they have, you know, websites, blogs, social media presence. They even create special events.
Oh, wait, though, Terrence. I just have to interject something here.
Okay.
I had a rant on Twitter the other day because my Twitter feed every now and then will blow up with about 10 of the same ad for the same book. And it's all different people tweeting the same ad simultaneously. And it appears to be something that I would think of as some sort of collaborative effort, some sort of collective effort. And when that happens, I unfollow every single one of the people that I see participating in that and mute them so that I don't have to see it anymore. Because I don't know if that's the same kind of thing, but it's obnoxious. I don't know how it's a good idea to, you know, it really comes off as very spam, you know, spammy. I don't know, I don't know if that's the same thing as what you're talking about, but whenever I hear this sort of, you know, everyone collectively gets together and agrees that they're all going to promote each other's stuff and this and that and, you know, and whatnot, it's sort of, I don't know, there's something about it that doesn't sit right with me, because I wonder, first of all, how much of them actually reading each other's books is going on, or are they just promoting each other's books because they are all in this collective?
So they're individuals. It's not one of these companies that
right.
that you pay to tweet tweet your book or whatever.
Right,
it's actually
right. It's a bunch of individuals, and I mean, I know you're not a huge social media fan. We've talked about that before too, and so you have not dealt with you have not dealt with the plague that this is. But
I have a Twitter account.
I know, but what I'm saying is you have not dealt with this particular thing, because when you go on Twitter, you know, you take care of business. You know what I mean? And when I'm on Twitter, I'm on there to chat with friends and the writing challenge and, you know, other Twitter friends and things like that. And, you know, when I go to check my wall, all of a sudden it'll blow up with all of these. It's the same. It'll usually be some sort of horizontal graphic, you know, about some author who's some Amazon best-selling author, whatever, and then their book. And you'll have, you know, several of the exact same tweet for the exact same book just being tweeted by different people all simultaneously. And I understand what they're trying to do, but I just think they're not really thinking this thing through. I mean, I don't know. I'm just not sure who's going to be impressed when they see a whole, you know, parade of these ads going by all at once at the same time by all of these people on Twitter, because it looks like exactly what it sounds like it is, which is these people who are all saying, okay, well, we'll all promote each other's books, but I don't think any of them are actually reading them. They're not really excited about them. It's just sort of a grassroots advertising effort, but it really does come off as spammy to me. I mean, that's my opinion. You know, I'm opinionated.
Well, we don't even know that this indie. Before you blow up your thing with these people from these indie collectives, Sarah. Let's be clear to say, because I wouldn't know.
I don't know. It's the same thing. I'm not saying it's the same thing.
Let's make sure we say that we don't know.
Yeah, the thing I'm talking about is what I've described, but I don't know if that's the same thing that you're talking about.
Because I won't know if my Twitter wall blows up or Twitter feed or whatever it is. I won't know, but you'll know if you get some responses. So we'll just make sure that we're just this is just a rant of Sarah's here, but we're not sure if it has anything to do. But I think I kind of like the idea. I don't know much about it, so I don't know what the pros and cons are. I've just found out about this recently. But I kind of like that, because it looks to me like it's kind of the best of both worlds. If you could find somewhere that you had a good fit, that would be very important. You have to get into the right co-op, or, you know, right collective, if you will, because you would still be in charge of your book completely. But then when it came time to get into the business of marketing and promoting it, you could actually get in with a group of other people that might have some really good ideas and social media presence, for instance, that you might not have, or you could do guest blogging. I mean, all kinds of possibilities I would see where you could be a part of a community on the level that I think would be the most important to the whole process, which would be the promotional end of things. So I could actually kind of see a benefit to this. But like I said, with anything else, I think you'd have to do your research and then just make sure that you got into a group that, you know, that had the same objectives as you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, I don't think it would be very good if I got into a collective that was 99% social media. Do you?
Probably not. That probably wouldn't be the best choice.
If that's how they tackle it, then that wouldn't be a good one for me, because I just am not very good with social media stuff. So, and we are going to talk about that, I guess, in season 3, aren't we? We're going to get into.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're going to do all about social media, and so that will be a hilarious season, I think, because I'll tell you everything you shouldn't do.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, that's kind of – those are all the different options that people have. So if you think about this, when I got into publishing, Sarah, many years ago now, when I was just a babe.
Right.
There was just not these choices. And so it still blows my mind now, all these avenues that keep opening up for writers. And so
I guess it can make your head spin, all the options that are out there. It's a great time to be, you know, an author, because there's really nothing holding you back now other than your own willingness to just sit down and write, and also try to improve your craft and get better at storytelling or putting what you want to say on paper, or what have you.
Okay. Well, that's all for today then. And I'm very excited, because I can't wait to tune in next week, because Sarah is going to tell you all the stuff that she learned while she was working on The Smuggler's Gambit. And so I think that'll be real informative. And then we'll be continuing on in our season of All About Publishing.
Okay. That sounds great. So if you have just tuned in, you're just catching up, this is your very first episode you've heard of this podcast, you can catch a whole season about the actual process of writing a book that Terrence and I recorded last fall. You can find it on my website at sarahwhitford.com. That's sarahwhitford.com or terrencezepke.com. That's terrencezepke.com. Or you can find the podcast on iTunes, A Writer's Journey. So you can search for it there. And so we thank you so much for joining us, and we will look forward to meeting with you again.